Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station in Madison and North Florida, South Georgia, driving down the interstate. We just pray today that we can be a blessing to you. And in the midst of all of the crisis and chaos around our world today, that we might to look at the scriptures, the holy scriptures, the prophetic scriptures that particularly deal with the last days, and have them instruct us of how to live with holy anticipation for the soon coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. And friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today, we want you to know there's hope. There is good things ahead, but we got to go through some bad times to get there. And we're in those perilous times that the Bible speaks of right now. The headlines all around the world bear out what God has said in His Word, the very conditions that would just precede the coming of Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian today, please stay tuned and let us share our hope with you. And more importantly, let us share our peace with you, that you could come to know Jesus before this broadcast is over, and you could have the peace that will offset all of these fearful, troubling things that we are seeing and hearing in our world, in our nation, in our homes, and many times in our own personal lives. God loves you today, and we want to be a blessing, and we pray that this broadcast will continue to go forth over the airwaves right here on WMAF and touch the lives that God wants it to touch. We have no ulterior motive, no hidden agenda today. If you come to our website, it will become very clear very quickly that everything on that website is free. There are no strings attached. We are so happy to have people that that will gladly give of themselves in order to help produce this broadcast and help sustain the website with no salaries, so that the gospel of Jesus can be heard and give everyone an opportunity to come into this ark. You know, there was a movie out. I don't know anything about it. I know it wasn't a big blockbuster hit, although it was a grand production, I hear, about Noah. And one of the things about that story in the Old Testament, this historical event in the Old Testament, is that there was a place for those that had trusted God, Noah and his family, to be kept safe when the judgments of God came upon the land. And there was a door to that ark that Noah did not shut in the scripture. There's a door to that ark that God shut and sealed them in until it was safe to come out and replenish the earth. I want you to know today, amen, that that door, symbolically and figuratively, is Jesus Christ. He is the door into the presence of God. He's the door of the sheepfold, praise God. And today, that door, Jesus is welcoming those that will come to Him by faith, receive Him as their Savior, repent of their sin, and God will surely pardon and seal for eternity. Praise God. Well, we love you today. Amen. We want you in the ark. We don't want to be running into the ark and leave everyone out. We want you in the ark with us, that place of safety and security that God always provides for the righteous. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, get ready to turn with me, will you, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, on the subject, the power of godliness, living victorious in the last days. It simply says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." I'm going to read again from the Amplified. It said, "For although they hold a form of piety or true religion. They deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn from them. Now, as we go forward in this study today, I want to go back just for a moment and talk about this word perilous. It's simply said, it's outrageous times, but it's outrageous for a reason. I like the New International. It said, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Terrible times in the last days. The Amplified New Testament says, times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Perilous in the Greek is a word that means simply hard to bear, hard to take, dangerous, fierce, harsh, savage, from a base word that means to reduce the strength. You know, I heard the other day a statement on a news broadcast that I have made many times in dealing with the prophetic scriptures, and in particular, the last days or the end times, what the Bible has to say about it. And I said, because of the conditions that would exist in the last days globally, men and women all over the world will become war weary. War weary. You know, the Bible said that in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars and distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Wars and rumors of wars. Now, there's always been wars and rumors of wars down through all of history, but never with the seeming back-to-back sequence that they are in now. You know, the Bible said when certain things begin to come to pass that these are the beginning of sorrows. And that word sorrows is the word for birth pangs in the New Testament. It's like when a woman that is pregnant and it's time, it's getting time for that baby to come forth, she begins to have contractions or birth pangs. And when those contractions begin, they begin with a time before the next one comes. And it's the frequency. It's when they start coming very close together that they know the birth is very, very near. And that's how this scripture is put in perspective, these prophetic scriptures. When wars and rumors of wars continue close together, back to back, we know that it can't keep going on like this. Something has to happen. We have all kinds of peace efforts in our world today that are coming to naught and failing, whether it be in between Israel and Hamas, or whether it be Iraq, or whether it be within nations themselves, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, whether it be Russia and the Ukraine, whether it be just brother against sister and sister against brother. There is this kind of attitude in our world today, and the world is war weary. I heard it on a news broadcast the other day. Someone used those very terms to say the world is weary of war, or war weary, exactly those very words. And because the world is war weary, then we are absolutely convinced and understand that the stage is set for someone to come on the scene with a peace plan that is going to work, that is going to cause the nations of the world to come together and to be able to find solutions for the things that have caused them to become warlike and to fight against one another. And friend of mine, that person is the Antichrist, and that peace, according to the Word of God, is a false peace. But it also indicates that Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. And that is the message of hope that we bring from the Word of God. And I tell you, this is not a time to be living some kind of compromised Christian experience. This is a time, if you know the Lord, to get close to Him and to stay close to Him, and to follow Jesus and not the world about us. And if you don't know Christ, this is the time to come to Him, to run to Him, to come to this place of peace and safety, of true peace and true safety, and to get a hold of this hope, hallelujah, that gives us courage to live in victory in these days and look past these days to that great day when Jesus is going to come back. Praise God. Amen. Well, we want to go on in this study today and say this to you. Amen. That these are the last days. It's all about the fact. The positive thing about it is it's all about the fact that a power, a resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus bodily and physically from the dead, has been unleashed. It's afoot. It's out in the world. It's available to you and me. Though our lives will always be subject to conflict and struggle, there's overcoming power available to you and to me if you're a Christian through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what grace has provided for us. It's the grace to live in victory in regardless of the weakness of our flesh and irregardless of the conditions around us in the culture and in the world. The grace of God that allows us to come to Christ and have our sins forgiven qualifies us for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who's able to strengthen us to overcome, amen, and to give us a hope and a peace that this world can never give and can never attain without Jesus Christ. You know, people misconceive the 7-year tribulation period as a time of all of these apocalyptic events and these terrible, terrifying judgments being poured out into the land. And surely judgments are going to be poured out in the land in that time. But the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is a time of peace. It's a false peace through a person that is going to come on the scene and is going to bring that solution to all of these perplexing problems that we're facing today. In fact, the Bible prophetically uses that very term, that men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth, for there'll be wars and rumors of wars, distress of nations with perplexity. In other words, with all of the great thinkers and all of those who earnestly seek solutions for the complex problems and the compound problems that face the nations of the world today. This global crisis that we are in today, the crisis of terrorism, the energy crisis, the crisis of nation against nation and people who can't find solutions and answers except to go to war and to hate and to kill and to hurt. Ah, friend, there's a man coming that is going to have the solution, because he will be Satan's man, a man that Satan himself will indwell. He's called the Antichrist, but he's also called a man of peace. He's going to bring peace, because all the minions of hell, all of the demons that inspire the world to hate and mankind to become fierce and want to kill and hurt one another, when those demons draw back, there will be a peace. But it's a peace to allow a man to come into power, the Antichrist. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, the world will be glad to embrace this man, being glad to come, to promote him as a world leader and give him power like no single man has ever had globally in the history of the world. And then the second part of the tribulation will break forth. You know, the Bible said in the conditions that lead up to this, the wars, rumors of wars, distress of nations that would mark that this day is at hand, that the Bible literally says this is not the end. In fact, it says the end is not yet. But there is something that will mark the end, and it is when that first 3.5 years is completed, 3.5 more years is coming. I put it this way. It's like when a hurricane comes and the eye comes over and people think the storm is over. So they walk outside in this strange calm. And then suddenly, this second wall, this other wall, this actually the worst part of the hurricane is yet to come. And that's the way it will be according to the scripture in the book of Revelation. The first 3.5 years will be a false peace produced by a man who will come on the scene that a war-weary world will embrace and will follow and will allow to have a global influence because they think he's brought the peace, the lasting peace, the final peace. They'll think that we're in a utopian world when in fact we're only in the eye of a storm that is swirling, and the second part of the tribulation, all of that wrath of God is going to be poured out. Amen. So that lets us know that in this perilous time, it's leading up to that time, and the world is being conditioned for this man to come on the scene. The good news is that if the Antichrist is about ready to get to come and be manifest, and I believe that he's alive, I believe most students of Scripture, most prophecy teachers would agree that that man is alive somewhere in our world today. Many believe he will come out of Europe, but one thing is for sure, the world is ready to embrace that man. There was a statement made many years ago during the Cold War when nuclear capability was being developed and everyone was concerned that someone may press that button and start a nuclear exchange. By the way, there's so many more nations now with nuclear capability and so many more developing nuclear capability. We're living in a very perilous time today. But during that time, in that day, someone from some nation, some representative, so fearful if nations couldn't work out their problems and sit down together and reason together, and a nuclear war actually occurred, an interchange between nations of nuclear weapons. He said, "We need a man. We need a man to come on the scene who can convince the nations of the world and the leaders of those nations to sit down and talk to one another and put an end to the threat of nuclear holocaust. Whether he be angel or devil, we care not. Whether he be angel or devil, we care not." Now see, the devil is not going to tip his hand initially. He is going to come. The Bible said he's going to come as a man of peace. But it will be a short-lived false peace indicating that the rest of the tribulation is going to come and fall upon the entire world. Listen to me today. God is calling His people to live godly in the midst of an ungodly world, to get closer to God than we've ever gotten in all of our life, to give our allegiance to the Lord that saved us, and to begin to pull away from the culture that threatens to consume us and pull us into it and cause us to think like it. Oh, friend, I want to be a close follower of Jesus today. You know, Jesus didn't tell us in the Great Commission to go forth and just build churches and fill them with people. He told us to go forth and make disciples unto Him out of all nations, followers of Jesus Christ, not followers of the devil, not followers of the Antichrist, not followers of the culture, but followers of Jesus Christ. I call us what that book title that impressed me so many years ago, that we are upstream Christians in a downstream world. It takes a concerted effort to follow Jesus when the whole culture and the tide is going away from God. But I'm telling you, when that devotion and that dedication is made, we will have everything we need. All of heaven's resources will be granted to you and to me, that we might truly follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, the dead is available to you and to me today. Let me read from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Here's what the Scriptures teach. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. You know, the incentive for living godly and righteously in an ungodly world is because we are supposed to be looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible said that they that look for Him, and by the way, it's those that long for Him that are going to be looking for Him. If you long for Christ to return, if Maranatha is your anthem in these last days, even so come, Lord Jesus, if you're longing for Him, you're looking for Him. You can't be longing for Him without looking for Him. Amen. And to them that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And the Bible said, he that has this hope, he that has this blessed hope, purifieth himself even as he is pure. In other words, it makes us want to live godly. It makes us want to stay close to the Lord. It makes us not want to be embraced by the world, to be applauded by the world, but to desire to have God's favor, because we know in God and in Jesus Christ there is safety, there is security, there is peace, there is hope. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, there's holy anticipation right now for those that understand that what we're seeing right now in the culture of the world and in the events that are occurring in the world indicate that Jesus is coming very, very soon. And when we see in the church this form of godliness in many areas, I say it with a broken heart. I say it with tears in my eyes. There's so many, many that profess Christ that do not in any way indicate that their values and their morals are in any way indicate that they have had that experience of the heart being changed, their sins being forgiven, and Satan being no longer our master. In fact, they love pleasure more than they love God. And because of that, there's a form of godliness put forth that denies the power to change us, to strengthen us, and to sanctify us and to keep us. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I am talking about a bent toward righteousness, a Godward attitude instead of this earthy, sensual, devilish attitude that indicates that we have never been born from above. If you don't know Jesus, look around. You have to be exposed to the news. You know something's got to give. And use this knowledge that you have, this sense that you have. God is putting that in your heart. We're just trying to put it in prophetic, biblical perspective. It's God that is putting it in your heart. This is a dangerous time. This is no time to play with your soul. This is no time to play religion, play church. This is no time to put off coming to Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. This is a time to run to Him, to run into the ark before the door is closed and the opportunity is missed. Oh, friend of mine, I'm so glad to have the security that knowing Christ as my Savior gives me, to have the blessed hope that the Bible speaks of, and to be able to interpret what I'm seeing as heart-rending, heartbreaking, and horrendous as it is. To interpret that in light of the Scripture, amen, that my Lord is coming very, very soon. That before man self-destructs, He's coming to set up His kingdom. He's coming for His people. Glory be to God. Amen and amen and amen. I'm going to read this from the paraphrase very quickly as we work to a close today. By the way, verse 14 says, "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." From the paraphrase, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do that is good." Eager to do that is good. Hallelujah. I love Psalm 4 and verse 3. It says this, it said, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself." That's what sanctification is all about. Cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. Let me read this again. "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him." David said, "I'm one of those people that is living for God in a culture, a pagan world, but I'm living for God. And I know He's going to hear me when I call upon Him." Ah, friend, this is a day to draw close to God. This is the day to come out from among them, as the Scripture teaches, and to live a life that indicates that we are serving a different master, that we are no longer servants of sin or Satan, but we are servants of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Him and servants of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend, you do not want to be here during that tribulation period under those judgments that represent the wrath of God. And God has made a way for you through Jesus Christ to have safety and security in the ark. Amen. And the ark is Jesus. Jesus is both the door to enter the ark, and He's the ark of safety that we enter into. And today, as this broadcast is drawing to a close, you can come to know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You can repent of your sin. You can be brought into a place of safety, and you don't have to fear the wrath to come, which will be poured out in the tribulation. You don't have to be afraid of the coming of Christ. You will be so glad to see Him, because you will know that your sins are forgiven, that you are ready to stand in His presence, the presence of the Father and of the Son, the angels of heaven and the elders, and know that you've been declared righteous, and that He loves you, and He's prepared a place for you. Ah, today, accept Christ. Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. The hour is late. The ark is open. And Jesus is calling you. And today, if you're a Christian, it's no time to get down, draw back, give in, or give up. Lift up your head. Lift up your heart. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?